Welcome to Chip Chat, an interview series that connects you with technology experts around the issues that industry is focused on today. And now your host, Allison Klein.
Welcome to Chip Chat. We're recording live at Oracle Open World. Today we have Marie Ann Niemat with us. Marie, you are a vice president at Oracle. Why don't you tell us a little bit about what you do?
I manage development of the TimeStand in-memory database, the Berkeley database, and the newly announced NoSQL database.
So one of the biggest announcements that came out of Oracle this week was the Exalytic product. Lots of people are talking about in-memory databases, but this isn't a phenomenon that happened overnight. In fact, you have a long history in this space. Do you want to tell us a little bit about that?
Sure. So TimeStand was founded as an independent company in 1996, and it was and is an in-memory database. At the time TimeStand was founded, 64-bit processors were looming on the horizon, but weren't there yet. So the technology was considered interesting for some narrow class of applications that needed real-time performance, but that had very small database requirements. Over time, we believed and still believe that in-memory databases can actually become mainstream because of 64-bit processors, which allow very large data sets to reside in RAM, and because technology always means that the price goes down and the capacity goes up. And in fact, this is happening today. People no longer question the validity of storing data in main memory and managing it in main memory. We see a number of small companies that are built around in-memory data management, and the large players are all talking about in-memory data management.
So when you look at the transition of technologies, you mentioned 64-bit processing. Are there any other things that have changed in the time frame that you're looking at that have made this, what was a niche play, become something that's ready for the mainstream?
Definitely the drop in price in RAM. So the price per bit of main memory has dropped considerably. The capacities are very big. Many servers now have 1 or more terabytes of main memory, and it's all very affordable for the data that you really need in real time. So the technology is definitely making that possible. Fast networks also enable in-memory data management because they allow the movement of data, the fast load of data into memory, the fast transmission of data from one server to another, and the processing of a lot of data. So the convergence of the fast networks and the large capacity RAM is helping making it very much a mainstream product.
You mentioned the size limitations in the early days of in-memory databases. When you look at it from a perspective of today, is there a limit to the size of an in-memory database that you would think is feasible to manage?
It's partially limited by technology. How big can the RAMs be? Of course, they can be bigger and bigger, but it's not clear where the limit will be. The biggest challenge at the moment is loading the data in RAM. So how does it get there? And fast loads and parallel loads and compression all help, and we have to keep pushing on these technologies to make it practical to have multi-terabytes of data in main memory.
You know, you mentioned that the early value proposition in this space was people who had need for real-time analytics but had small data sets that they wanted to analyze. When you look at the products that you guys are delivering today, what are the primary drivers? Are they the same in terms of real-time analysis, or are there other factors here that would play into why someone would want to move in this direction?
In general, any applications that need a fast response to queries. Mm-hmm. So be they analytical queries that require some extensive processing, or be they more of the OLTP types of queries, where there is not that much analysis, but it's important to get the response very quickly for a variety of reasons, is either to respond to events that are happening on, say, a network, to detect fraudulent activities, to meet service level agreements, to ensure customer satisfaction. If you're doing online purchases, for example, you don't want to wait a long time. So the faster the data access, the more competitive the offering can be. And certainly analysis is very important. It's very important to reduce the response time, because it can mean going from minutes to seconds or from hours to minutes. Some of our customers have windows in which they have to do quite a bit of processing. They might have a window of 6 hours or 4 hours per day, let's say at night when there isn't much going on. But that window cannot be exceeded, and they might need a large amount of hardware to fit within this window, and that can be reduced considerably if the response time is faster. So response time, reducing response time is very valuable for a whole variety of contexts, verticals, applications.
So it sounds like there's an efficiency element here. Interesting, because that was not an obvious connection that I made. Mm-hmm. When you look at, you mentioned loading data into memory as a challenge. What other challenges are there in terms of managing an in-memory database that would not be present within a traditional structure, or different approaches, I guess you would say?
Well, another challenge would be exceeding the size of main memory. So a database that's can handle the storage of data either on disk or in main memory and manages the overflow from memory to disk and the bringing of hot data sets from disk to RAM has a flexibility that an in-memory database doesn't have. Because if the in-memory database is strictly constrained to the capacity of the RAM, then there is no room to stretch anywhere except to scale out and go on multiple servers. So the importance of scaling out becomes much more urgent than with a disk-based database. So that's another challenge of in-memory databases.
When you look at the world of data, and lots of folks are talking about big data, unstructured data, what would be the approach for a corporation to integrate more of a front-end Hadoop type model with an in-memory database engine, an analytics engine? Is there a connection between the two?
I don't see any difference between the connection between Hadoop and any regular relational database. So Oracle today announced the Oracle Loader for Hadoop as part of the big data offering. And whether the relational database is a disk-based database, like the Oracle database, or whether it's an in-memory database, should not really matter in the loading of data from a Hadoop environment to a relational database.
So do you think that the trend is moving towards a long-term vision of most databases or all databases running as in-memory databases, or will there still be a hybrid model where some will be actually held with data and storage?
I don't think we will ever not have a hybrid model, because no matter how much the capacity of RAM increases, the amount of data collected is also increasing enormously. having petabytes and petabytes of data in main memory is not going to happen. So hierarchical storage is always important. But it means that more and the amount of data that's considered hot will be bigger, and it will be more affordable to have larger sets of hot data.
When you look at the customer base, obviously Oracle works with every single vertical, every single large company in the world probably. When you talk to customers, where are they seeing the most value in terms of the types of insights and that they can drive with this model, and things that would be managed differently within their organizations in terms of the types of insights that they're getting from real-time analytics?
Well, the ability to understand what's happening with their business in real time is very important. They can react more quickly. They can pose a lot of what-if questions, mm-hmm. And get the answer right away. So they can ask very sophisticated questions and get answers quickly and react to them. So that is very important in running a business.
Do you see any particular industry being an early adopter in this space, or do you think that this has equal applicability regardless of industry?
I think this is a broad horizontal play. There are many users of the Oracle Business Intelligent suite in general. And the nice thing about the Exalytics offering is that it does not require any changes, mm-hmm. to what the users are doing. The old dashboards continue to run on the Exalytics machine. So I expect broad and horizontal adoption of Exalytics.
So when you look at the average database manager within an enterprise, the day-to-day management of that is not really going to change that much. There isn't a major step function of training that needs to go into moving to this model.
That's correct. Basically, they will be able to do everything they were able to do before, except it will happen much, much faster. And as a result, they'll be able to do more analysis than they were doing before because they can do it faster. But they don't have to make any change to their model.
So you made the announcement this week at Oracle World. Where do you think this is going next in terms of the next major innovation? Is this an evolutionary path, or are there main hurdles in the future that need to be overcome to get to the next level of performance or capability?
Well, we will continue to evolve this product. This is definitely not the last you will see of in-memory analytics. So we have to wait until next Open World.
When you look at the data distributed around the world, you know, one question that I have is corporations are multinational. They're gathering data from a wide variety of sources, and moving that data across the internet can be a challenge. When you look at a solution like this, how do we manage an environment where data stores may be distributed or, you know, accessed from different geographic locations? And is that the bottleneck today, or?
One of the challenges that the Oracle Business Intelligence offering solves is that there is a lot of heterogeneous content. It comes from various different data sources in different formats, possibly silos of information from different organizations. And the very nice thing that OBIEE does is it allows a user to pull data from the different data sources and to combine them and analyze them and present them as one unit, as one complete interacting set. So combining all these different data sources is a challenge, and it is solved by the Oracle Business Intelligence product.
Interesting. If folks want to learn more about this solution, where would they go for more information?
Well, it's available on the Oracle websites under the Oracle Technology Network.
Okay, great. Well, Marianne, it was a real pleasure having you on the show. I think that this is such an interesting area. You know, obviously major business benefit to moving in this direction and really changing how corporations can make decisions and manage their business processes. It's exciting.
Well, thank you very much.
Thanks for being on.
Thanks.